The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome everyone to the show today. Thank you for tuning in and taking time out of your busy day to be inspired and educated all about adoption. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach, and I'm your host, Kelly Ellison. We're so glad that you've joined us. If you listen to the show each week, thanks so much for tuning in. And if you'd like to share the show with your friends and family members, please go to our website at www.voiceamerica.com, Your Adoption Coach, on the Variety Channel. I know that there are a lot of opportunities to hear the show as we're doing a lot of re-airs, but the show does air every Saturday at this time on 12 o'clock Pacific time, 2 o'clock Central time, and 3 o'clock Eastern time. So last week, I hope you got a chance to listen to the show. It was really wonderful. We featured Rita Sorenen, who's been on our show before. She is the CEO and president of the Dave Thomas Foundation. Rita was joined by four executives from Cornell University, the Diocese of Metuchen, McGraw-Hill, and Prudential. All of these companies provide excellent adoption benefits to their employees, and many of them have been doing so and have been on the adoption-friendly workplace list since the beginning for more than 6 years. They were all so proud of the benefits and education that they offer to their employees. So if you get an opportunity and if you're interested in finding out more about these companies, you really have to listen to the show. If your company wants to offer more adoption benefits, you can go to the Dave Thomas website at www.davethomasfoundation.org. Or you can also download the workplace kit that they have on their website and even complete a survey to be included in this year's adoption-friendly workplace list for 2013. It really is a great honor, and the commitment that these companies have had to their families is just really amazing. It doesn't really cost a lot to do this, but the benefit goes a long, long way. So that's www.davethomasfoundation.org to find out more about that particular program. So as promised, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the fact that we would try and do a show on Russia. It seems like Russia is in the headlines every day. There is some issue or some adverse response to the fact that Russia banned adoptions from the U.S. And we have today Chuck Johnson, who is the president of the National Council for Adoption, to talk with us about Russia and the current status. Chuck serves as the president and CEO of the National Council for Adoption. The National Council was founded in 1980 and is an adoption advocacy nonprofit that promotes a culture of adoption through education, research, and legislative action. The NCFA's areas of focus are infant adoption, adoption out of foster care, and intercountry adoption, and they've been strong advocates for Russian adoptions. Passionately committed to the belief that every child deserves to thrive in a nurturing, permanent home, we serve families, parents, birth parents, adoptive families, adult adoptees, adoption agencies, U.S. and foreign governments, policymakers, media, and the general public as the authoritative voice for adoption. Now, Chuck, prior to joining the National Council for Adoption, served 17 years with a licensed child placement agency in Alabama, including 8 years as its executive director. He's a graduate of Auburn University with a degree in social work and holds a master's degree from Birmingham Theological Seminary. And he's has been a licensed practicing social worker since 1986. He is the father by adoption and lives with his wife and 3 children in Maryland. Thanks so much, Chuck, for being with us today.
Kelly, I'm really glad to do the show.
Yes, I know you've been on the show before. We've had you kind of on one of our first shows, actually, when we started back in June. It seems like a long time ago.
Yes, it does.
When we first introduced.
A lot has happened since then.
A lot has happened since then. You really have to be studious to keep up with all of this. And there's just so much going on. Just the other day, a family, we're talking about Russia today, and just the other day I was watching TV and a U.S. family was featured on some news channel who actually got their son from Russia. But then also it began to talk about the great amount of pain and uncertainty that they had. I have to tell you, I stood in front of the TV, as I do many evenings, with tears running down my eyes, thinking about those kids and thinking about all of that. I can barely talk about it. And then today you said that there was some news. You were quoted in the Associated Press story. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's just one of the aftermaths of the closing. We've focused so much, as we should, on the Russian children who are not going to have families now, and, of course, the families who are in the queue to adopt them. They've been our focus, but the reality is that the ban is now affecting the families, American families who had already adopted Russian children, Russian children who are already here in the U.S., and a lot of the agencies that serve them are now, we know we had two adoption agencies that had worked in Russia, both announced that they were closing their doors effective immediately, citing what happened in Russia. And so it's left even those families who were with other programs within those agencies stranded.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you said so eloquently, it just is a really good example of how policy has such a reverberation kind of effect on everybody. It's pretty amazing. So give us a breakdown. Give us an overview of this timeline before we kind of dive into this, because I'm aware there may be some people that are not completely clear about what has really happened here. So on December 26th, tell us what happened.
Well, a lot of things happened, and it happened quick, Kelly. I mean, it was really like a freight train that no one could stop. The first sign that we had a problem happened even before this, but we know on December 21st, the Russian Duma, that's the lower chamber, they passed the legislation onto the upper chamber, which is the Russian Federation, and on December 26th, the Federation Council approved the legislation. And then from there, and this is all taking place for us over our holiday, immediately thereafter, we know that President Putin, who had been at times very publicly reluctant to sign the legislation, he signed it December 26th, and it went into effect January 1, and it banned inter-country adoptions to the U.S., not to any other country, but only to Americans who wanted to adopt Russian orphans.
And so this was a retaliation from them for sanctions. Is that correct?
There was legislation called the Magnitsky Act that our Congress passed, and then was signed into law by our president on the December 14th. And immediately after the 14th, the Russians responded very negatively to that. And the legislation, the Magnitsky Act, had nothing to do with inter-country adoption. It was a human rights act, fairly symbolic in nature. Mr. Magnitsky was an attorney in Russia who was imprisoned and died in prison at the age of 39. Originally, it was said that he died from a heart attack, but later an autopsy revealed that he had been beaten to death. And so human rights activists from around the country really zeroed in on that case, including here in the U.S. And as a symbolic measure, We passed legislation that said that any Russian official who is involved in the death of Mr. Magnitsky would be banned from visiting the United States. So you can see it was a fairly simple piece of legislation, not with a lot of teeth, but the Russians just really reacted very strongly to that. And President Putin said that he had been internationally humiliated by the act, and that they would take some type of measure to punish the United States for enacting it. And we later learned that that would be banning inter-country adoption.
Oh, my goodness. And he sure did find a way to punish not only the United States, but more importantly, all of the orphans, all of the families. It just has had a huge impact on everything. And I know, speaking about some of the adoption agencies, we've had several adoption agencies in the United States. Is it correct, Chuck, that really only did Russia? I mean, it was Russia has been a pretty consistent country in terms of adoption. Is that correct?
It has been. For more than 20 years, it's been a choice for American families, and more than 60,000 Russian orphans have been adopted over the last 20 years. Working in Russia was complicated, and so one of the things that came out of that is you had a core group of agencies who specialized in Russian adoption. Some of them had other programs too, but they had received a special dispensation for the Russian Ministry of Education to operate in Russia, and they had an office and a staff employed in Russia, and they worked very closely with the Russian Ministry of Education on behalf of the children in Russia who needed to be adopted and the American families who wanted to adopt them. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, with other things that are going on in the world of inter-country adoption, you know, it's fallen more than 60% since 2004. Yeah. It's just really put agencies who want to serve orphans around the world in a vulnerable position.
It puts them in a very vulnerable position. I actually remember when this happened. This didn't actually happen with China, but when China changed their requirements and restrictions, that many of the agencies, there were many agencies across the United States that only did China adoptions. And many of those agencies had to go out of business because they changed the restrictions and just shortened, the number of folks who could qualify for China adoption, and I know that was very hard. You know, certainly we don't want to lose sight of the orphans and the children and all of that, but I also think that it has an economic circumstance on us in terms of small business people that are, you know, losing their livelihood and losing what they love doing. So very happy to have you here, Chuck, and appreciate you coming in and talking about what I consider to be a highly important event or highly important issue, but also very sensitive, and couldn't think of a better person to come and talk with us about this. If you would like to get some more information about the National Council for Adoption, you can find them on their website at www.adoptioncouncil.org. And again, I'm here with Chuck Johnson, who is the president of the National Council for Adoption, and we are looking at this very sensitive interesting subject of Russia. So we do hope you will stay with us. We will be right back, and stay tuned for more.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Food and eating issues can be one of the most challenging obstacles facing families with newly adopted children. Food sensitivities, changes in appetite, and pickiness can create nutritional gaps. Plus, many newly adopted kids are at a higher risk for malnutrition due to improper feeding, illness, parasites, and a nutrient-poor diet. Fill those gaps with PediaSmart, the only organic option in a complete nutrition beverage. Organic assures non-GMO ingredients, no chemical processing, and nothing artificial. PediaSmart Organic offers the extra calories and nutrients kids need in two great flavors they love. Available at naturesone.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551, a 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Good afternoon. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. I'm here today with Chuck Johnson, who is the president of the National Council for Adoption. And we're talking about this very important issue of the ban on Russian adoptions by the U.S. families that happened, went into law on December 28th. And as Chuck and I were just talking about before this break, how quickly this whole process kind of unfolded for us, which seemed like there was no warning. But I want to go back and look at that timeline a little bit. We were talking about this on the break, Chuck. Tell us what happened on January 22nd.
Well, January 22nd was the first ray of hope that we had. Originally, a lot of the Russian officials had said that the ban was effective immediately, and including all pending adoptions. But the Russian Supreme Court did rule that those families who had final decrees of adoption, and in Russia, you made traditionally three trips to Russia. Mm-hmm. The first trip to visit with the child, bond with the child as a bonding process, and then families would traditionally come back home and then go back the second time for their court date. And at that point, they would actually have legal custody of the child transferred over to them by a Russian court. And so there were approximately 52 families who had final decrees of adoption. And then after that decree is issued, you wait 30 days to apply for the visa. And so there were 52 families who were at various stages in those 30-day process. And so the Russia Supreme Court, thankfully, issued a ruling that because those American parents had legal custody of those children, they were the legal parents at that point, that Russia was obligated to process those adoptions. And so since then, since that decision, over the last month or so, we're seeing those cases processed.
So those people are being processed, and I know that, I mean, you know, you never know what you're watching on television, but the implication on the U.S. family that I was watching that actually did get their son was that they still didn't even really know until they got to Russia, and that actually happened. The papers were actually signed. They were still in fear that this was going to fall through at some point. But you're saying that those families, those 52 families, based on what they said on January 22nd, did have the right to go and get their kids.
They did, and according to Russian news report, 32 of those families have completed their adoption as of earlier this week, and then there were going to be two more adoptions happening this week.
Okay.
So that leaves, there were 52 altogether who had the legal decrees, and then probably somewhere around 120 families or so that had already met the child but did not have, had not had the court date yet.
Right. And I mean, I know that you probably don't know, but is there any hope for those families at all?
Well, Kelly, it's really hard to say. I've said publicly that it's just really cruel how Russia has meted out information. I think the experiences of those families that you talked about is pretty common. The chaos is even in Russia, the regional offices and orphanages don't know what to do either. They are constantly getting conflicting information. And so it's, you know, it's a bumpy process right now. But legally, the Russian Supreme Court said they have to process these 52 cases. And right now, all the efforts are focused on these 120 or so families that had met the child. Altogether, when you count families who were maybe in the beginning stages of the application process and had home studies done, there are probably more than 1,000 of those families who are affected
right.
by the decision. But and a lot of families were reapplying to Russia as a result of this new treaty that,
right.
that we signed with them over the summer that went into effect November 1, which we had
right.
believed, I had believed, would lay, you know, the new, the foundation on which to rebuild inter-country adoption. It had been so unpredictable for so many years with moratoriums and suspensions and very chaotic regionally in how the law was applied in Russia. And so this bilateral agreement that our State Department and the Russian Ministry of Education and other Russian officials worked out, it took many years to work that agreement out. We were relieved. We celebrated that
mm-hmm.
day. That
mm-hmm.
the,
and that was November 1st, right?
Well, it went into partial effect November 1st. There were plans for rolling out different components of it that would take us into April. But the first phase of the agreement went into effect November 1, so barely 6 weeks later, they're basically voiding the treaty that they signed with us and banning inter-country adoption. So it was quite a surprise, except for those last 2 weeks where things really grew increasingly worse, beginning with mm-hmm. kind of the middle of December.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the I want to go back and speak for a moment about what you touched on about families that have reapplied. I know that one of the agencies that I work with that was accredited in Russia throughout the summer, they were working on all those accreditation documents, that new process, training people, getting that whole process set up, and then boom, this happens. So it you know, has just such a huge ripple effect on everyone who is involved. So was there any warning that this was going to happen? I mean, so as you're kind of like painting this picture, here we are cooking along and we've got a treaty with Russia and we're cooking along on that whole process. And as you said, you celebrated it. And then right after this, this Human Rights Act that happened, boom. So how did we have any warning that this was going to happen? Doesn't sound like it.
We had just a couple of weeks warning. When the Minsky Act was signed on the 16th of December, and Russia reacted so strongly to that, originally legislation was introduced pertaining to inter-country adoption in that it was going to, in the same way that the Minsky Act banned Russian officials from visiting the United States who had been involved in the death of Minsky, they were going to pass legislation that banned any American who was involved in the death of a Russian adoptee. from visiting the United States. So it was very much a tit for tat type approach. We had even expressed a willingness to support that legislation if it would end there, but somehow the usual suspects, they're a group of people, and they're well known that we've battled for more than 10 years in Russia, who've always opposed inter-country adoption, and they had been defeated, you know, by the passing of the treaty, but they were able to capitalize on Russia's anger and embarrassment over the Minsky Act to take that legislation that would have been the tit-for-tat legislation and turn it into a complete ban on inter-country adoption. And from that point on, it was no stopping it.
Right. It just seemed like it snowballed from there. So you mentioned earlier in the first segment that one of the aspects of this is that there will be an effect on kids that have already been adopted and those families. Tell me about that. How does that work?
Well, one of the things that the agreement, the bilateral treaty that had been signed, had worked out some citizenship issues mm-hmm. for Russian adoptees, and that they could how they can maintain their Russian citizenship. That's in question now. Well, you know, what parts of the treaty remain in effect, if at all? It's also affected, and we're very concerned about not just the requirement to file post-placement reports, which has been required by the Russians, but we've believed how important those post-placement visits are, particularly in the weeks following the adoption, to help families and children adjust. And so we're concerned how agencies are going to fulfill those obligations if they've laid off their staff, if they're closed. We're getting calls. We've had many calls just this week from families who have already adopted children, and they want to fulfill their obligation to do post-placement reports, but now with their agency gone, or with the agency having one of the ban required agencies to close their offices in Russia, and there's been confusion over the timing of that. When are they supposed to close? Some have already closed their offices and laid off their staff in Russia. Others are still trying to process these cases. So, you know, with the staff gone in Russia, how will these post-placement reports be filed? Which is just going to further antagonize the Russians. But yet, it's their hasty application of this ban that you know, is really the reason that it's caused such confusion.
But no doubt, they're going to turn around and say that we were remiss in doing that, and so therefore that gives more fuel to the flame that, well, we shouldn't be allowing American families to
adopt. Yeah, you've got it.
This is just like a vicious circle that we're going through. And we're getting ready to take a break here. We've got probably another minute, but the two things that I know culturally, I mean, I don't think that really culturally we can completely get our heads around this, because let's just be very clear that Russia is a completely different culture. And as I learned in adopting my own daughter from China, there is just a completely different mindset and culture. Not everyone thinks like we think, right, Chuck? So.
Exactly. And so the idea that now Russian orphans will be denied a family, you know, we've talked about how ironic it is that the U.S.'s effort to speak out against human rights, it is now resulting in the violation of the human rights of potentially thousands of Russian orphans who will be denied the basic right of a family.
Yeah, and that's just crazy. And I know that probably many of our listeners, as I did, you know, indicated, is there has been tension with Russia in terms of intercountry adoption before. I mean, we all know the story of the woman who put her adopted son on a plane back to Russia. It was very sensational, and, you know, it created a big undertow, I'm sure. We're getting ready to take a break, so I'm gonna stop there, because I want you to get an opportunity to respond to that, which I'm sure you want to. But we are going to take a short break. Again, we're here with Chuck Johnson, who is the president of the National Council for Adoption, talking about this very important issue of the ban on intercountry adoption by U.S. families from Russia. So we will continue to talk about that when we come back. If you want to find more information about all the wonderful work that the National Council for Adoption does, you can go to their website at www.adoptioncouncil.org. And we do want to give a shout out to our sponsors who help to make our show possible: U.S. Adopt, Beacon House Adoptions, Americans Christian Credit Union, and Nature's One. And if you this is the first time for you listening to the show, we want to thank you and welcome you. And you're joining 106,000 listeners who have tuned into our show from January to the end of November, and we know many, many more. This show is all about inspiring and educating you about adoption. So you're listening to Your Adoption Coach. I'm Kelly Ellison, and we'll be right back.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Food and eating issues can be one of the most challenging obstacles facing families with newly adopted children. Food sensitivities, changes in appetite, and pickiness can create nutritional gaps. Plus, many newly adopted kids are at a higher risk for malnutrition due to improper feeding, illness, parasites, and a nutrient-poor diet. Fill those gaps with PediaSmart, the only organic option in a complete nutrition beverage. Organic assures non-GMO ingredients, no chemical processing, and nothing artificial. PediaSmart Organic offers the extra calories and nutrients kids need in two great flavors they love. Available at naturesone.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551, a 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And And we're back. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. So happy to have you joining us today. We are here with Chuck Johnson, who is the president of the National Council for Adoption, talking all about Russia. Chuck was sharing with me the real important role that the National Council has played in Russian adoptions and the treaty and all of the work that you've done around this in your role as the president of the National Council, Chuck. So, you know, you were sharing with me that you really felt it was kind of personal for you. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. It's one of the we've really worked hard in Russia. It has been such an unpredictable program the last 5 or 6 years, and there have been so many suspensions and rumors of suspensions that that we've been able at times to provide a good linkage between, as a we're a private organization working with governments. The lion's share of a lot of the work often gets done by our State Department, but as a private organization, we have been able sometimes to introduce the two parties. We were the first to encourage our two governments to do a bilateral treaty when we understood that the Russians felt it was important. We have worked at times to provide the Russians very critical information that we needed to combat misinformation, and we've been able to keep our State Department and others informed of what's going on so that they can anticipate problems and hopefully be proactive and prevent them from happening.
Right. So before we went on break, I asked you about, you know, what I think everybody recalls is the woman who put her son on the plane back to Russia. We're talking over the break that you guys were quite involved in that. Can you describe that more?
Yeah, I can, Kelly, I can tell you where I was when
really?
I heard that case. I was on a Amtrak train from New Jersey back to D.C., and I get a call from the Russian Ministry of Education and Science that this little boy is turned up at the train station and they were asking what to do. And I was the first person to actually call Bedford County, Tennessee, and report the incident to law enforcement and to the child welfare system there.
Oh my gosh.
And that led to, you know, we had really called for an investigation and had really, like a lot of people, had expected Ms. Hansen to be punished for abandoning her child that way, putting a 7-year-old boy on a plane, one-way trip to Russia. And we had felt that there'd be some type of charges brought, but that never happened. And so we were able to work with the Russian Ministry of Education and Science on behalf of the boy, and we were able to file a civil suit against her asking for her to pay child support. And we won that, and she's now paying child support to the son that she abandoned.
Oh, wow. I don't think many people knew about that. I mean, I certainly did not know about that, about sort of that result that came out of there. And you had said that there have been about 19 deaths that have been reported. I mean, I think that I don't think a lot of people really understand that either. So tell us about that, because I think that, you know, one of the things that we see is that when you see this in the media, my first reaction is always, okay, I wonder if that's the full story and what's the backstory and, you know, all of that. And certainly the media is doing, you know, trying to do their job, but there's always a context for this. And so I think it's really, really important to get as much information as we possibly can. So when we talk about the tension between United States and Russia and their intercountry adoption before, we don't know about all this work that your agency is doing on this treaty. You know, the normal person adoption has just so many different layers, as we've talked about before. So you have said that there have been 19 deaths, and that was what part of this treaty that was being created was about. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. And the 19 deaths were horribly tragic, and they are confirmed. Those are children who died at the hands of their adoptive parents, Russian adoptees. 18 of the 19 families were convicted. It's the 19th case that they've named this legislation after, where the man was acquitted in court. The judge found that it was just a horribly tragic accident rather than malice. Rightfully so, and this is the part of their concern, the Russians' concern, that I've always understood. We would feel the same way if American kids were being adopted and harmed in other countries, too. And there have been 19 deaths over the last 20 years. There have been many dozens of other situations where there have been less than successful outcomes where children have been abused or harmed or adoption disrupted. But the vast majority of the 60,000 adoptions have, you know, been without incident, and those kids and those families are thriving quite well. And so those deaths are, I mean, I don't want to diminish in any way those 19 deaths. It has led to important reforms. And that's really the focus of that treaty that was signed and went into effect November 1, was really dealing with important reform measures that would have prevented potentially future incidents like that. They were banning independent adoptions agencies, even though Russia's not a Hague Convention country. Russia had agreed to only work with Hague-approved agencies. Russia had agreed to provide more detailed information on the child to the families so that they could make more fully informed decisions.
Right.
Our government was going to be more involved in cooperating with each other to handle any kind of issues of concern. But that treaty never got a chance to work. It went into effect November 1, and by the third week of December, Russia was saying that they were ending adoptions.
And the worst part is, you know, the conclusion is that they don't want their kids to have homes and families. I mean, that's the conclusion, that they're you know, horribly mean people. I mean, you've probably worked with these people more than anyone that I've at least talked to. What do you think? Is there hope for this? Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I think overall it's just symptomatic of orphans around the world, that they always get the short end of the stick. They don't vote. They don't have a voice. And so it's easy for governments to neglect them and deal with more vocal priorities. But in Russia, we really don't know. I mean, the ban is in effect. They say no more new adoptions. I know that the U.S. Department of State at the highest level is working with the Russians to try to negotiate the lifting the ban. No one knows what the outcome of that will be. One of the strongest opponents of inter-country adoption this week, and this is someone who's opposed every adoption, he was quoted in the Russian media as saying that he might consider supporting the adoption of some of those 120 children, if the families had, these are the families who had met the child already, if the bonding process had started, if that could be established and proven, he had said and was quoted as saying that he would support those adoptions. We don't know what that means. He certainly would not have the final decision making process in that, but you know, there are things happening in the midst of all of this horrible tragedy. Little things will happen that give us hope that maybe we can get this changed. And so we're not giving up. We're not giving up on the 120 kids who have been visited by their adoptive families here in the U.S. We're not going to give up that the ban can't one day be lifted. But it's going to take all of us working together and keeping the pressure on.
Right, and I want to talk with you about that. I do want to just comment that, you know, I can only speak to my own personal experience, but I cannot imagine having met my daughter and then having to go away. Do you know what I'm saying? I just can't imagine that, with the hope that that's going to come together at another time. It just, that would really be horrible. So our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those 120 families, and so appreciative, Chuck, of your personal commitment to this issue and also your agency. I know your staff. I've worked with them. They're completely dedicated, wonderful people who are completely dedicated to this particular issue, and many of the other issues that the National Council for Adoption undertakes every single day on behalf of children. So tell me, who is at the, let's talk about what individuals can do, because I think that's really important. Who at the State Department has this on their radar? Who's working on this on a daily basis?
Well, traditionally, intercountry issues are handled by our consular affairs office at the State Department, but I think the diplomatic negotiations are happening at the highest level. We were told that Vice President Biden did discuss this issue with Foreign Minister Lavrov last week. I know the families have called on President Obama to engage himself, and that was something several years ago when there was a ban on kind of a de facto ban on intercountry adoption. Nothing had been decreed, but Russia had allowed the accreditation of all of the American agencies to lapse. And we know that President Bush at the time and President Putin sat down over dinner, and President Bush was able to prevail upon the Russians to get those accreditations through, and that happened 3 days later. The decree came from the Kremlin to rush those through. So, I mean, we do hope that these negotiations will continue. Obviously, we're not party to those. Those are highly confidential. I know Congress is very concerned about it. Several members of Congress have signed a letter to Russia asking them to lift the ban, expressed a willingness to work with them on addressing their concerns. And then, of course, organizations like NCFA and Congressional Coalition on Adoption Institute and a whole bunch of people are you know, working to see that the pressure stays on. We just don't want this issue to go away. And so they can write their members of Congress and ask them to stay in tune, to watch, look for ways to encourage Russia to lift its ban.
Is there anything on your website or anyone's website? I know that the adoptions.state.gov site has like the most up-to-date information, right, about the particular country. So if you're interested in any kind of country, you can go to that website. In terms of an action item for a person like myself or even some of our listeners here, are there any form letters that exist, or is there anything like that that we could go to just get almost like a campaign going or a support going in that way?
Sure. There is a petition, and I don't have the link to the petition with me, but I'm sure it's on our website. You mentioned our website, adoptioncouncil.org. I know our Facebook page, and you can link to our Facebook page from our website, but we try to keep that Facebook page updated daily with any kind of relevant news concerning any type of adoption, whether it's domestic or intercountry or foster care issues. So that's a great resource for families who want to just kind of stay abreast of what's happening today.
Okay. And again, the website for the National Council for Adoption is www.adoptioncouncil.org that Chuck is referring to. And again, they also have a really great Facebook page, and you can go out there and kind of find more information. You also mentioned the coalition, Congressional Coalition for Adoption. There are a number of agencies that can provide information about this topic. And want to make sure that, as Chuck said, let's not take the pressure off. Let's continue to keep the letter writing going, continue to show our government that this is a very, very important thing. And I think before we break for our last segment, Chuck, tell me that there have also been a lot of Russians who have said, wait a minute, this is not right. Wasn't there a march in Russia that had implications from this?
You're right, Kelly. And at last count, I think, was 130,000 Russians had signed a petition in Russia to lift this ban. There have been several marches that have happened where citizens have come out and really talked about the folly of this ban and why it's just harmful and destructive to children. Mm-hmm. So, that's another thing that we have monitored with some excitement, and I know we were able to work with the folks at Saddleback Church, who have a real strong network in Russia, and they were instrumental in helping notify the faith community in Russia about the ban. And so a lot of people were directed to that petition and signed it. So there's a lot going on. And and you mentioned our staff. I can tell you, Kelly, it's there have been times I've been so discouraged and almost despondent over this outcome. But just when I'm ready to give up, one of our very passionate staff, you know, they won't let me. And so they've come in and encouraged me at the right moment and kind of been able to refocus again and get back to work. But it's all of us working together, and it's not just NCFA. There are many, many groups who we're, you know, because it's not about NCFA, it's not about any organization, it's about the kids. And that's what we want it to be about, and we're trying to keep the focus on the children, and all of us work together in their behalf.
Right, right. Well, so good of you to share this important information, and I'm really want to personally say thank you to you for all of your commitment and work that you've done, not only on behalf of the children and the issue in Russia, but just your work that you do at the National Council. It's really wonderful. I'm privileged to get a chance to work with you guys in your conference and all the different opportunities that we've had together. So thank you for that very much, Chuck. We are going to take a break again, and we are going to be back. Before we close and take our break, I want to read our nutritional tip from Nature's One, one of our sponsors for the show. The nutritional tip this week is lactose intolerance is especially common in children of Asia, Africa, Hispanic, or Indian descent, and may best respond by soy products. Symptoms of lactose sensitivities include diarrhea, gas, bloating, and cramping. If your child cannot consume dairy milk, offering organic soy PediaSmart or Babies Only Organic Soy formula can help you ensure that he or she is receiving the recommended requirements for protein, vitamins, and minerals. If you'd like more information about organic nutrition, you can go to Nature's One website at www.naturesone.com. And again, we want to do a call out for our sponsors, U.S. Adopt, Nature's One, Beacon House Adoptions, and America's Christian Credit Union, for helping us make this and all of our shows possible. So stay with us. We'll still have Chuck on our last break. We have a few more questions to ask him. He's also going to talk about their conference in June in Orlando. And so do stay with us. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach. I'm Kelly Ellison, and we'll be right back.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Food and eating issues can be one of the most challenging obstacles facing families with newly adopted children. Food sensitivities, changes in appetite, and pickiness can create nutritional gaps. Plus, many newly adopted kids are at a higher risk for malnutrition due to improper feeding, illness, parasites, and a nutrient-poor diet. Fill those gaps with PediaSmart, the only organic option in a complete nutrition beverage. Organic assures non-GMO ingredients, no chemical processing, and nothing artificial. PediaSmart Organic offers the extra calories and nutrients kids need in two great flavors they love. Available at naturesone.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House Adoption Services has been providing services to birth and adopting parents since 1989. We offer experience and professionalism throughout your adoption, whether domestic or international. Licensed in multiple states, Beacon House is Hague accredited through COA, accredited by the Russian Federation for International Adoptions and by the Republic of Moldova. Our domestic adoptions are nationwide. Call 225-753-5551, a 501c3 charitable organization.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much. We are back. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. And thank you so much for staying with us. We're going to do our last little segment here. We have with us Chuck Johnson, who is the with National Council for Adoption, the president of National Council for Adoption, and all the work that they've been doing with Russia. If you want to find out any information about update on the country, you can go to www.adoptioncouncil.org. So, Chuck, just a few minutes in this last segment. So, tell us a little bit about your conference in June in Orlando.
Well, we're having a great conference in June, June 13th and 14th in Orlando, Florida. We have a great conference, Kelly. It's just been getting, it's been growing each year. People are telling us it's really one of the best adoption-themed conferences that they've been to. It's not only for professionals and people who want to hear what's going on in terms of policy and legislative issues and other things like that, but it's also for families who are just beginning the process, who want to learn more about adoption. You were part of that conference last year where you talked to families about how to fund their adoptions, and so we're just trying to, you know, our constituency is it's birth parents, children and adoptive parents and adoption professionals and adult adoptees, and so we try to have conferences that address all of those issues and help people walk away. It's information that you can use. We don't do fluffy sessions. It's the kind of information that you can take away and do something, be better. If you're a professional, be better at what you do. If you're an adoptive parent, be more informed about adoption. If you're parenting a child, how to be a better parent. Those are the things our sessions do. And for the first time, we're moving it from D.C. We're taking it on the road to Orlando, Florida. And like I said earlier, it's June 13th and 14th, and we're going to have a great conference. And if you want to learn more about it, they can find the link to it on our main webpage.
Great, great. Well, again, that's the www.adoptioncouncil.org, and their conference in July, or excuse me, in June, June 13th, 14th, and 15th. So very, very good. Appreciate you being here, Chuck. And if you want to find more information about Russia, you can go to their website and get more information. Before we close, we want to read our America's Christian Credit Union financial tip. Maximizing the equity you may have in your current vehicles can help you secure a loan for your adoption. Although our secured, unsecured adoption loan is convenient, using the equity in your car could also result in a lower interest rate and payment over a traditional unsecured adoption loan. America's Christian Credit Union has low auto loan rates that will help you fit this monthly payment into your budget. You can contact them at www.americaschristiancu.com or 1-800-343-6328 for more details regarding your auto and adoption loans. I want to thank you, Chuck Johnson, the president for the National Council for Adoption, being here today talking about Russia. Thanks for joining us. What a great show. If you like the show and if you have suggestions or a story that you'd like to share with us, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or on my webpage, my host webpage at voiceamerica.com. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to keep the pressure on, folks, because Russia is very important, and keep the minds and hearts to all those families out there who are in the process, in the pipeline, waiting for an answer. So we just want to hold the best for them. You can join us next week when you tune in again at 12 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Central, and 3 o'clock Eastern. Have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.